Hic est vere propheta, qui venturus est in mundum. This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear fathers, and very dear faithful, today in the middle of Lent, at the start of the fourth week, we have what is called Laetare Sunday. This is the spiritual equivalent of Gaudete Sunday that occurs in the third week of Advent. Holy Mother Church proposes a break from the silence and fasting of Lent so that we may renew our strength and have a foretaste of the joys of Easter. We begin the Mass with this cry of exaltation, Laetare Jerusalem. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and all you who love her. Leap with joy and be filled with the abundance of her delights. The Gospel taken from chapter 6 of St. John tells us what these delights are by the narrative of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. This miracle was performed by Jesus to prepare us for the announcement of a far more startling miracle, that of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. Dom Guéranger, the famous restorer of the Benedictine order in France after the French Revolution, tells us, Our Lord was born in Bethlehem, a name which means the house of bread. Jesus himself, the Son of God, Jesus himself, the Son of God, would become our living bread which came down from heaven. We read in chapter 6, verse 41 of St. John, to nourish our souls. This is the cause of our joy, the source of our delight. This miracle was a prefiguration of the time of the church in which our Lord would feed generation after generation of Christians with his body and blood. Today's Gospel therefore points us to that time after the resurrection so that we can look forward to the new Jerusalem of eternal and ever-abundant joy. Our Lord appreciates the sacrifice made by the crowd that left the noise and bustle of the cities to follow him into the desert. So anxious are they to hear his words that they fear neither hunger nor fatigue. And their courage is rewarded. He does not forget or despise the material necessities of life. Jesus thinks of their hunger, and to provide for it, he performs one of his most outstanding miracles. With his blessing, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes suffice to feed 5,000 people, with 12 basketfuls left over. A similar reward will crown our labors, our fasting and abstinence, which are now more than half over. We should therefore rejoice and spend this day with the lightheartedness of pilgrims who are near the end of the journey. The happy moment is approaching when our soul, united and filled with her God, will look back with pleasure on the fatigues of the body, which, together with our heart's compunction, have merited for her a place at the divine banquet. Our Lord knows that when a person is tormented by hunger or material needs, he is unable to apply himself to the things of the Spirit. Charity likewise requires of us this understanding of the bodily necessities of others, a practical understanding which translates itself into efficacious action. If a brother or sister be naked and want daily food, and one of you say to them, Go in peace, yet give them not those things that are necessary for the body, what shall it profit? Says St. James in his epistle, chapter 2, verse 15. The apostles had suggested to the Master that he dismiss the crowd that they may buy themselves victuals. Jesus did not agree, but provided for them himself. We too must strive, as far as we are able, to show ourselves solicitous for the needs of others. Before performing this miracle, he asked St. Philip, "When shall we buy bread wherewith to feed these people?" And the evangelist observes, he said that to try him, for he knew what he was about to do. There is no difficulty in our lives for which God does not know the solution. From all eternity, he has foreseen it and has the remedy for each case, no matter how complicated the situation may be. However, sometimes in difficult circumstances, he seems to leave us alone, as if the outcome were to depend on us. But he does this only to test us. He wants us to measure our strength against the difficulty, which makes us more aware of our weakness and insufficiency. And he wants us also to exercise our faith and our confidence in him. The Lord never really abandons us unless we forsake him first. He only hides himself and covers his actions with a dark veil. This is the time to believe firmly, and to wait with humble patience and complete confidence. The apostles tell Jesus that a young boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that this is very little, in fact, nothing at all, for feeding 5,000 men. But the Lord asks for this nothing and uses it to accomplish a great miracle. It is always this way. The all-powerful God, who can do everything and create from nothing, when dealing with us, his free creatures, will not act without their help. Man can do very little, yet God wants, asks for, and in fact requires this little as a condition of his intervention. Only the Lord can make us saints, as only he could multiply the small supplies of the young boy. Still, he asks for our help. Like the boy in the gospel, we too must give him everything in our power. We must offer him each day our good resolutions, renewed faithfully and lovingly. And he will bring about a great miracle for us also, the miracle of our sanctification. St. Paul, in today's epistle to the Galatians, reminds us that there are 2 Jerusalems of which we must be aware. The earthly Jerusalem that God promised to Abraham and his descendants through Agar, the slave girl, the Jerusalem of the law and the prophets, and the heavenly Jerusalem promised to Abraham and his descendants through Sarah, his wife. Those of the old Jerusalem today are those who give themselves to a more carnal and earthly life, a Jerusalem of time and the earth. On the other hand, the heavenly Jerusalem, like Sarah, the wife of Abraham, was sterile for a long time before she had Isaac, and through him a large descendants. The prophet Isaiah was speaking of this large following of the church, when he said the words, "Give praise, O thou barren that bearest not. Sing forth praise and make a joyful noise, thou that did not travail with child. For many are the children of the desolate, more than that of her that had a husband," said the Lord. Both Ishmael and Isaac, being descendants of Abraham, contend with each other for their heritage. This is reflected in our daily struggle to remain part of the heavenly Jerusalem, of which we become members by our baptism, and to free ourselves from the earthly Jerusalem of our passions and base desires. This is when we must believe firmly, and work with humble patience and complete confidence that God will deliver. Only He can make us saints, and He asks us to have faith as we go about our daily duties. Our Christian religion promises us one thing that no other religion or system can. To be a Christian is to be free in the true sense of the word. The word freedom refers to two things: a freedom from something, and an action for which this freedom is a means and a condition. We are not free from the laws of God to do whatever we wish or desire, but we are free in order to produce good actions, to act freely. According to the doctrine of the church, we are free to act according to our intelligence, our highest faculties. At the origin of our lives, we do not have any freedom. By our baptism, we receive the beginnings of our liberty. If we use the liberty that we possess, we will discipline our life towards that perfect liberty, towards the fullness of liberty that we can find in heaven. A long and sometimes painful but continuous discipline helps us withdraw from this mass of confused tendencies, habits, and disordered dispositions which pull down on our will and our action and make them deviate from the lines drawn by our intelligence. Our wills and actions are free when they are no longer hindered by the requirements and the solicitations of our lower powers. Liberty is to be free from one's lower constraints to the point of being able to will and act according to one's reason. Christian liberty is to be free from all solicitations of one's lower powers, to be free to will and act according to the thought of God. All in all, liberty is simply docility to the Holy Spirit. Christian liberty is summarized in this verse taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans: For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Our liberty as children of God comes from our docility to the thoughts, the will, and the influence of our Lord. We have been groveling too long in the goods of this world. We have been slaves to sin, and the more the chains of our bondage weigh upon us, the more we talk of our being free. Now is the favorable time. Now are the days of salvation. We have obeyed the church's call, and we have entered into the practice and spirit of Lent. Sin seems to us now to be the heaviest of yokes, the flesh a dangerous burden, the world a merciless tyrant. We begin to breathe the fresh air of holy liberty, and the hope of our speedy deliverance fills us with great joy. Let us, with all possible affection, thank our divine liberator who delivers us from the bondage of Agar, emancipates us from the law of fear, and making us his new people, opens to us the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem at the price of his blood. At the end of the gospel, these people who Jesus has been feeding by a miracle of love and power resolve to make him king. We who know the goodness and power of Jesus must beseech him to reign over us from this day forward. We have just been reading in the epistle that it is he who made us free by delivering us from our enemies. The only way to maintain our liberty is to live under his law. Jesus is not a tyrant, as are the world and the flesh. His rule is sweet and peaceful, and we are his children rather than his servants. In the court of such a king, to serve is to reign. Let us not waste time to break the chains of sin that may still be upon us, for Easter, the great feast day, is near. Let us go forward courageously to the end of our journey. Jesus will refresh us. He will make us sit down as he did the men of the gospel, and the bread he has for us will make us forget all our past fatigue. Let us confide in our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, seeking their help to always remain faithful to our Lord. Even if we feel that all we can give are 5 loaves and 2 fishes, let us give it to him with the full trust and confidence of one who remembers that our all-powerful Lord can bring a miracle out of the meager offerings of our souls. He who created everything from nothing can make a saint out of each one of us. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.